Beetlejuice is back.
In what way?
Beetlejuice is back on Broadway.
I didn't know it had ever left.
Yeah, well, a lot of things left.
A lot of people left Broadway. Griff, I don't know if you heard.
Well, I just assumed because Beetlejuice is such a nasty man that he would not curtail his run on Broadway just because of the germs and the sick. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's like the kind of dude, like the nasty dude.
I'm gonna keep doing my show.
Right, yeah. And he's like, welcome to the show, ladies and germs. Try not to cough on anybody. Yeah.
What's the matter, afraid of a little cough?
Yeah.
But it's so just him.
Yeah, it's just a one man. It's sort of him doing it's him doing stones in his pockets, but by himself.
Oh, man, you went out to the fucking boneyard.
Yeah, I did. That's right. That's because I couldn't remember the number of Sundays in Billy Crystal's show.
I think it's 7 manillion.
I think it's 7 manillion.
Do you think he wore that suit when he was alive, or was that a ghost thing?
I think, do we know what he did? Was he ever alive? I always think about him like an angel or a demon who was sort of created that way and didn't like die into the role. You know what I mean?
Did he live
as a
man?
No, he was definitely alive.
Did he just live as a man?
I remember it fucked me up really bad the first time I learned that angels aren't very good dead people. And I feel like that's kind of what Beetlejuice has going for him. Like, he's always been, he was never like Stanley Jenkins. He's just always been the nasty man, Beetlejuice, who will keep doing his show, because if not, the terrorists win.
We've said his name more than 3 times.
Oh,
well,
shit.
I think we're up to 6 at this point, so he's probably going away.
Yeah, if you do it 3 more times, he leaves.
Yeah. Big loophole.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game for kids.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and let's put these games in these kids' hands, America.
My name is Christopher Thomas Plant, and we're back to Pac-Man, baby.
My name is Russ Frostick, and I'm in allergy season. I feel like shit.
I like the timbre, though. You got a nice timbre.
You like that?
Yeah, I do. It's nice. A little bassy.
Talk more. Talk more now.
Hey, guys.
That's enough.
It's me, Russ.
This week on The Besties, which is a video game club, which just by listening to you are a member. Sorry for our absence last week. We're on the road, but we're back here with you now. By our, I mean Griffin and I unless Griffin secretly snuck onto the show.
I did. I was in the background the whole time. When you heard bug noises in the background, you know, like, bzz, bzz, that was me.
Yeah.
I apologize.
But what are we doing this week, guys? I have no idea. I wasn't here. I didn't hear you say it at the end of the last show.
This week, we're talking about games that you can play with your kids. Probably the most requested episode of all time outside of Deep Rock Galactic. Oh my gosh, I'm going to get killed for getting the title wrong.
I know what it is.
No,
we'll do it eventually.
I've actually played it. It's pretty fun, but you know, I can't say any more because that would make everybody too happy. We're saving that for a rainy day. The happiness of it all.
Good.
Today we're going to talk about games that we either play with our own kids or games that we recommend playing, I was going to say with other kids, which doesn't sound quite right. But, you know, like, maybe they would be good for you and your kids or whatever kids that you're around.
Yeah, we have a wide age range represented here, although it's pretty much 7 and below, I would say, in terms of our parenting acumen.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. Honestly, I think that's the part that could use the most advice, because once you get to those motor skills really ramp up around 7, and all of a sudden, like, most games are probably, you know, okay.
Sure.
By 7, they're probably better than you, right?
Yeah.
Like, at this point, we can just assume that they're, like, headshotting you.
I mean, my son will never be better than, like, me at gaming. Like, it's actually pretty important to me to, like, maintain that grip. You know, but maybe we should take a break.
We have an assortment, a bevy of wonderful suggestions. And I think we should just get started. I don't want to wait for this show to be over. I want to know right now, Griff, what do you play with your kids?
we're big iPad users. There's a lot of games on the App Store. I don't know if you all know about this. And it's you can pretty much find anything for any age on the App Store, and it doesn't and what's fun is that the quality of the game as viewed through the lens of a discerning 100% real old school gamer doesn't matter so much. There's a game, you just got to watch out that you don't accidentally press the wrong button and spend $100 to make the ads disappear from the bug squashing game. You know what I mean? Because that is, there's traps everywhere, and they're going to get you one of these times.
But don't you want to be playing, I guess part of the thing about this episode is I kind of figured that we'd want to be playing games with our kids that we would also want to play.
Oh, that's very
rather
selfish.
Than just like maybe just having them play some garbage.
I mean, we have moved up to the level of like free to play pseudo gacha games for kids, right? A big one that Henry plays is called Monster Legends, and it is a Pokemon like free to play game with like, you know, a billion different points of microtransactional goodness that you can mostly sort of skirt around, but it's got like a lot of meat on its bones. It's got a lot. It is one of those games, and there's a trillion of them out there where like you have your town that you can customize with different habitats for the different monsters, and then you can breed them, and there's like 800 different types of things, and then they have special events, and then there's like YouTuber monsters, like gotta get Mr. Beast, and he's actually a beast.
Wait, this... are you breeding Mr. Beast?
You can make wealthy psychotic philanthropist Mr. Beast breed with a big T-Rex if you really want him to.
Maybe the most confounding figure in media today, I will say, on the scale of like,
we can't get into it.
I can't get into Mr. Beast.
No, I'm into this explanation. I want to go further here. I want to see where we're going.
It's also one of those games, and I feel like this is true of a lot of free to play success stories on the App Store, that it's been going for 8 or 9 years, and so it is so dense with like shit. Like, there's so many, now you've unlocked the cell laboratory.
Sure, yeah.
You can combine different, like, and it is too much for any child or adult to stumble into. But I think the biggest thing that I have learned in, like, enjoying games with Henry is to kind of turn off the critical part of my brain that I have developed from being a literal game critic for a very long time, and that is hard to suppress. But when you can do it and see the game through the child's eyes, like it makes you appreciate things about them that you otherwise would kind of overlook. Because I am very quick to, once I see a game's faults, write it off or go look for a better game, or it's hard not to let it sour. But like, I don't know, we get a new fire gorilla, and Henry's like, "Fuck yeah!" And he doesn't cuss. And that's inherently pretty good, right?
Just like he likes the visual of a fire gorilla.
I mean, he likes,
it's also fun
collecting
like
monsters.
A gorilla that's fire.
Yeah, sure. We unlocked Cthulhu through some like special random lottery. We like got this Cthulhu monster who like literally destroys enemies with a giant eldritch tentacle, and Henry's like, "That's great." And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's wild, but yeah, I guess that is pretty good stuff. But like that's only the most recent thing. Like, we have done all of the Sago Mini World. Like,
oh,
that's
great for younger kids.
That's my number one right there. Like, you can get some sort of, it's like, I don't know how much the annual membership is. It's very cheap, and then it's like 40 just super gentle, interactive, funny, physics based sometimes games.
That don't sound like a nightmare. Because if you hear a Sago in the background, it's like pleasant. It doesn't sound like, oh my God, I'm going to throw this kid's phone through the window.
Is it wrong that I'm ripping the batteries out of every toy that my son has?
Oh no, that's expected.
There needs to be, the FCC needs to regulate volume on children's toys, because some of them are of a human, that are good for human ears, and some of them are like a little ice cream truck that lives in your house. And that's no good.
Some are bops, though.
Some are bops, of course. I mean, you know I'm all about DJ Fisher Price.
Yes,
DJ Fisher Price. When DJ Fisher Price is in this, it, like, you know it's going to be a party.
Can you break me off? Do you have any in the chamber? Anyone's?
I mean, there's Underwater Rainbow, which is like the jam. There's like a little aquarium toy, and it goes like, rainbow, rainbow, underwater rainbow. Red, red, orange, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, 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 purple. Like, it's good. It's a good
bop. Way too much purple. Yeah. I want to ask you, Griffin, because you mentioned you're talking about gacha light stuff and mobile games in particular.
Sure.
Do you ever get questions from Henry about, like, well, why can't we get this character? Or why can't I spend money?
Every day. What I have done is there's, you know, in all of these games, and this is just how I do it, and I'm sure, you know, other parents do it too. He plays this game a lot, right? So I don't mind dropping some money on it, right? It's got a season pass that I don't go in for because it's like, nah, I'm not there yet. It's like $20 or something like that. Whoa. It's like, that's a little bit too much. But I'll buy in some gems, and I'll be like, this is all the gems I'm going to buy you for a while. So if you blow all these, then we're not going to be able to use them on other stuff. And he's like, okay. And then inevitably he will like spend them to like speed up a egg hatch. And then he won't have gems for a while. And
because kids don't get time.
No, they don't. They don't understand time as much as I try to encourage it. So, like, you know, there's a little bit of education about responsibility and you know, fiscal responsibility. But yeah, he is pretty understanding about it.
I guess my question. I mean, my son is very young.
Yeah,
and doesn't know what clouds are, so it's going to be a while.
Right.
I guess my question is, if you could go back and exclusively focus on like non free to play style, like gacha style, whatever stuff,
yeah,
would you?
No, I don't think so. Because it's also like, you know, if we sit down and he's not feeling any of the games on the iPad, we can just download one. And if we bounce off of it, typically we won't play it again, right?
Yeah.
So like, who gives a shit? But if we have one game, like Monster Legends has been that game for a few months now, he's been into it for a while, then like, of course I'm into that. And the big thing, the point I want to make, and the bigger thing that I've had to like kind of learn is like fine motor skills take a while to develop, and I am constantly kind of surprised at the game, like Minecraft, for example. Like Henry loves watching videos of Minecraft, but the twin stick control is like a lot to ask of a 5-year-old. And so like, you know, we will play Minecraft for short bursts, but he gets kind of frustrated. But he's getting to the point where like a 3D platformer that uses one stick, like Kirby, the new Kirby game, is perfect. But before all of that, like a touchscreen is the simplest form of interaction. We even did Kinect for a while, and there's a few great Kinect games out there. Like, we've played a lot of Fruit Ninja 2 on Xbox One. It's a great game, and you play it on Kinect, and it's fun. There's that, I think it's called Fru, which is a platformer where one player controls, like, a little character in a platformer while another player uses their silhouette to kind of, like, move them around the world. Like, that's very fun. If a game is funny and physics-based, like, he's going to be into it. But, like, even the Kinect is a faulty form of interaction at times, but a touchscreen, like he will always be able to figure that out.
God, I wish Kinect was still a going concern. Like they missed a trick by not making that since I had kids, like my kids would love that. Like it's very frustrating.
Yeah. I think there's there could be a place for it specifically for kids. But I mean, I don't think that, I think sadly that arrived at the wrong point in time.
Now, Justin, you, I feel like, have mentioned Roblox in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a big thing with your oldest, correct?
Correct. Yes. And Cooper. Cooper is actually learning dual stick controls a lot younger than Charlie did, just because she saw Charlie playing and she wanted to participate in it. So she has like willed herself to learn how to navigate like dual stick 3D environments, which is pretty
for Roblox.
Yeah.
Does she use a controller or just like the virtual controller?
The two thumbsticks on the screen.
Wow. Now, that is a game that is I haven't played very much of it, which I should because it's an enormous, enormous phenomenon, but also like potentially fraught with like, there was something about Kim Kardashian the other day that was like, whoa.
Yeah.
So, how hard is it to sort of avoid that stuff?
I mean, you can turn on restrictions. I mean, I think the problem with Roblox is that a lot of people have a fundamental misunderstanding of Roblox. And I myself had a fundamental misunderstanding of Roblox. And you don't get Roblox until you realize that it is not a game and it's not trying to be a game. Obviously, Roblox itself is an ecosystem, right? Like, it's obviously Roblox is not a game. But they call them experiences in Roblox. And that's really like, it's a better way of understanding it than like a game as you would think of it. Like the things that happen in Roblox, it is really like, it is the metaverse. It's the metaverse. Like it is the best, closest approximation of that ideal. The things that are happening in Roblox are social. Like the kid goes into it and they'll go in with one of their friends. I'm going to give you a wild example. One that my kids love is, I forget the name of it. It doesn't matter. It's just like icons on a screen, but it's like where the Little Mermaid is a murderer. Okay. And you're under the sea and there's like a base sort of.
Is it literally like they use Ariel like imagery?
Yeah. I mean, not exactly. It looks like a Roblox Ariel. Like everything's Robloxy.
Sure.
But like Roblox Ariel. And then you can put on like outfits from the movie by standing on these different pads. And then if you go to the floor of the ocean, there's like other castles you can look in and stuff like that. If you go to the floor of the ocean, then Ariel has a knife and she's going to try to stab you and kill you.
Okay.
And there's no reason for you to leave, right? There's no, you don't have to leave. There's no reason to. You can swim around and run around and avoid her, but there's no reason to. You do because it's funny.
Like she's not gonna, she doesn't do damage. Your character doesn't die, is what you're saying.
Yes, no, that does happen. But you're not incentivized to leave your base. There's no reason to leave the base except, hey, wouldn't it be funny? Yeah, you're LARPing, right? You're running around from Ariel and you're telling your friends, like, come distract her so I can run away from her. And then we'll run back to base and go change our clothes and do other things.
It's
right?
Like what you would do in a playground, making up a dumb game.
Exactly,
that makes no sense.
That is metaphorically exactly what it is. Like, it makes no sense. There's no rules. There's no like incentives. There's no, it's not like you're playing pretend, right? And these get more sophisticated. There are some that are like, more like virtual worlds where you have your own house, you have a baby, you have pets, you have, you can buy a car or whatever. There are some that are like, hunts, like find all the pandas or find all the eggs or find all the whatever. But the idea is not like, look how good my score is or look how good I did in this game. It's like, let's you and me, you know, get on Messenger Kids and chat with each other while we, you know, fuck around in this virtual world. And once you get on that point, it's very easy to like, I very frequently, even when I was touring, I would see what the kids were playing and then I would just hop into the game with them. You click on a friend's name and you instantly teleport to where they're at. Like that is what it's built for.
Sure.
It is easier to play with your friends in Roblox than any platform that has ever, ever, ever existed. Because that is the goal. It is like hop in, let's mess around, let's see this goofy thing. And when it gets boring, we'll go to some other goofy thing. And that's what Roblox is. Like there's obviously like content on there that is like, it, you know,
great and funny and good for kids.
But there's restrictions. You can turn on like restricted things, but then that'll restrict one of the games they really like, and then they'll be pissed at you and you just gotta live with that.
Yeah.
But like it's a fun way, like Sydney and I will like hop in on our phones sometimes and just see what they're doing and play, you know, they'll ask us to play with them, or the four of us will like go into the same thing and like goof around. It's like, it's really fun. It's very, you know, it plays on everything. And I get frustrated sometimes because it doesn't fit into the idea of what I want a game to be.
Sure.
Like, but it, as a conceptually it is great. I mean, it's hilarious. And there's like, they do a lot of, and IP is weird in Roblox. There's like, there's an Encanto RP server. There's several of them actually, where they have recreated the entirety of Casita and all the Madrigals are there, and you can go in all their rooms and it's playing the music on a loop and you can dress like any of them you want to. And I don't know how that is okay, but
I mean, I'm sure it's not. It's just a matter of like ban, you know.
Yeah.
Getting a hammer to knock these things down takes too much time.
It reminds me of old Little Big Planet when people would use like the PlayStation 3i microphone to record music and put it in there, like Spider-Man, like
Super Mario
World.
Brothers and stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
So are there monetization hooks as well for
Roblox? Oh, yeah, baby. That's the whole...
Okay. How do you avoid that?
Yeah.
The kids don't have the ability to buy Robux. So Robux. They get Robux if they clean their room. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you give them some Robux, and that's the in-game currency that they can spend on whatever they want to in Robux. And, like, I've seen everything from buying costumes to, like, level skips. There are these things called obbies that are obstacle courses that are very popular, and you can buy, like, level skips. Or, hilariously, and this is, like, quintessential Roblox, you can buy a jetpack that just lets you fly over all the obstacles and land on the other end, which is not funny if it's a game, but it is hilarious when my wife and children are running the half mile to the nursery or whatever in Adopt Me, and I pull up, because I'm an adult man with my own income, I pull up in my sleek Lamborghini that I just bought for no reason and blow past them. And that's not funny. Like, that's not good gameplay, right? It'd be insane for you to buy a Corvette that lets you go faster than everybody else. But who cares? Like, it doesn't matter. It's only like, it's a goof. Like, it's just funny to have a Corvette.
Yeah, your kids don't get pissed at you for having a huge advantage.
Russ, that's what's good about it. Why don't you understand?
It's a flex. It's all about
I'm flexing
flex.
On my kids that are broke.
Sure.
Flexing on my broke children. But there's stuff like that, but like honestly, it is rare that Charlie like asks to spend money, because it's like her friends aren't gonna spend money. So they're like, you know, we're just kind of playing around in this world, and if it gets boring, there are a million other experiences to play at any given time.
Does the money pipe feel inevitable, though? Like, I just wonder if it'll end up being like, you know, when junior high, when kids, I mean, they probably discover clothes much earlier now, but, you know, like, the idea of fashion kicks in, and suddenly it's like, well, now my friends are spending money. And now
I'm certainly at some point, I would guess, but like, to like wanting stuff like that when you're in junior high or whatever does not seem out of step with how I grew up. I mean, like that was when I started wanting to buy, you know,
Lamborghinis and Roblox.
CDs
Walkmans. You ever bought CDs and didn't just get them through the fucking Columbia? Like,
hey, I paid for those. I did my time.
Yeah. One penny for 10.
I mean, it's funny because again, my kid is too young, but I am experiencing this like push and pull of monetization right now because I continue to play Fortnite, and Fortnite has like kind of mastered this art of like, how do you get other people to spend money in the game? And one of the ways they do that is when you start games, they populate the lobby, the waiting lobby, essentially with bots that just sort of hang out and play music at you. But all the bots have like premium skins. It's like, oh, I want to be fucking Boba Fett or whatever. You know,
I'd
they just announced Blanca
in his strong arm,
in a suit. So
with all his gizmos and
the
gadgets.
Way that I play that game, as I've talked about previously, is I just play it free to play because there are methods that I can use that like use the save the world mode and stuff like that to like earn currency that way. So that when I do spend V-Bucks, I'm not actually spending money. I'm just spending my own time. Feels like a little better to me, but it's sort of 6 1/2. For people.
If I can give one more plug real quick, all the Humongous games, Humongous Entertainment games are available on, I don't know if they're literally all available on every platform, but there's a ton of them on Steam and on iPad.
I don't actually know what those games are.
So this is a series of kids' adventure games that were released by Broderbund, but produced by a company called Humongous Entertainment, which is still like extant today. Although I think it's more of like a licensing thing. But they had a game called, they had a series called Pajama Sam.
Oh,
they had Putt-Putt. Yeah. They had Freddy Fish, Spy Fox, Huggy Bear, I think is one. But like they're very basic kids adventure games, which are really cool ways of getting them to start doing like some lateral thinking.
Sure.
It's just point and click. The aesthetics are like, for me, the best part, because it's like really takes me back to this time period, this like mid 90s sort of like aesthetic. They all run on Scum VM, so it's like it feels very authentic to, you know,
games. But do kids get into that, or is it not, that aesthetic doesn't do anything for them?
I think that they're kind of ambivalent to it. I mean, it's still big animated characters. It's just sure. The fidelity is a little bit lower. Mm. And the sound clip, you know, audio is not great. But it's like the idea of being able to solve puzzles and experiment with things. And it's also almost anything you click or tap on the screen is going to have, like, it does something fun, you know? So it's like, it's fun for them to just sort of like poke around and experiment with it. But I think they're all, like, you can get packs of them for like $10, and they're all like, and there's some replayability too. The puzzles change.
They must have loved games. There Is No Game, though, right?
Oh, for sure.
Justin, There Is No Game by Mom. Love, There Is No Game
by Mom.
Oh, God, no. I wish. I
that seems like they'd be over the moon about that. It's like, I mean, silly, it's but
complex.
Also,
that's a, you know what? I should try it. Charlie really likes The Room. We'll play The Room series together on iPad. So she gets into those.
You do need like a baseline understanding of what normal is in a video game to appreciate There Is No Game, because it's all just satire. But I think that's probably, she's probably there, right?
Also, I was thinking you meant, was it Mom Hidden by a Game or Hidden My Game by Mom?
Oh, Charlie loves Hidden My Game by Mom. Yeah. Charlie loves that series too. Those are really good, actually probably really good kids games. They're basic point and click. Kid trying to find his DS that his mom has hidden, and if he finds his mom first, she kills him. She doesn't kill him, but that's the idea.
Sure.
Fresh, are you able to, like, what is your relationship with your kid in a video game at this point?
I mean, he's like 10 months old.
Yeah,
so
I was gonna say, like,
not,
does he, like, literally nothing? That's what I would,
yeah, and I say. Like, I haven't really even played game, like, I'll sometimes on my iPhone a little bit, but like, you know, I'm not in the living room playing a console game and he's staring at the TV just because whatever. But yeah, no. So he doesn't, again, he doesn't know what clouds are. So that's where his levels are at. Plant, I know you've, Sonic the Hedgehog is obviously very big in your house.
Oh, huge. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if y'all have done the ABC yet, ABC Mouse, PBS Kids.
Yeah.
Apps. Yeah. Yeah. Like, the kind of the go-to education. Raising a child, it's a learning process. So we gave Mosey an iPad to use, and not like free roam. He had like YouTube Kids on it for a while.
Yeah.
And that was cool in that he discovered Sonic the Hedgehog and Mario on his own. And
weird.
Feels great. Feels like very cool that he found it. And, like, I didn't push on him, and he likes that naturally. And now I can, like, artificially encourage that.
Does Kids also have the, like, weird Spider-Man lives in a house with
so
Elsa?
So that's the problem, is basically that YouTube Kids lasted about a week to 2 weeks in our house, and then it got deleted hardcore because YouTube Kids is a fever dream. It was not encouraging, like, the healthiest relationship with media.
Sure.
So we stripped away a lot of the stuff. We downloaded ABCA, ABC Mouse, PBS Kids, which are all these, like, it's educational in the loosest term apps, but, like, at least, like, not too awful. Filled with some truly awful video games.
Oh my god.
Like, just the most rudimentary platforming. But here's what I say is quite great about that. A few months ago, when Mosey was like, learned about Sonic the Hedgehog, we downloaded the games, and he could not make heads or tails of it. Just instantly frustrated, which makes sense. It's, you know, like, learning the on-screen controls, and, like, there's just, video games are complex. But then he played the, like, very rudimentary ABC Kids games where you, like, can't die. And it's mostly just, like, here, learn to go left and right. And then, like, learn to go left and right and jump. And this weekend, for the first time, I was like, you know what? Let's put Sonic the Hedgehog 2 back on the iPad. And it was all consuming. Like, just immediately got it. He was, like, blasting through the game. At a certain point, he loves watching the casino levels on YouTube. And he was like, oh, take me to that. And I was like, oh, dang. I don't know if you're going to get there with, like, enough lives. So I looked up how to level skip on the iOS app.
Of course.
And taught him how to press S-E-G-A and then two fingers on the bottom right, which opens the level select menu.
Oh, my gosh.
And he like, will pick it. And then he was, like, beating those levels. It was, like, it was just one of those, like, proud dad moments of, like, holy moly. You went from not playing this to... Yeah, oh, I mean, definitely. But also that he cheats, but then he's ready for it, you know? Like, he gets started on that casino level, and he's ready to bop around.
We bounced off Sonic for the sole reason that sometimes you will be running very fast in Sonic and hit a plunger that knocks you backwards, and then you have to jump up a couple platforms to, like, get past that without being bounced, like, right the fuck back where you were moments ago, which is something I struggle with as an adult in my walk with Sonic. And it proved a frustrating barrier for Henry.
Yeah, it definitely pissed off Mo. At the same time, the thing that I have liked about it is it does seem, again, this is like a relatively fresh, that he's like learning patience from it. Like I can see him get frustrated and then like gradually figure it out. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I think all those kids' games, like, they're great not just because they're educational, but because they actually teach a kid how to play video games. Mm. And, you know, one of the questions that we have later on is, like, I think Steve asked us, can you think of any red flags that you would tell a seemingly great, that would tell you a seemingly great kid game will actually be disappointing? Less so content-wise, but more so the kid is getting frustrated, bored, confused, etc. A big one for me is, like, you don't realize how easy it is to die in, like, what looks like kids' games. So Super Mario Odyssey is great. No way. Or, like, classic Mario's, but no, you can die very easily once you're outside of, like, the first stage.
I do want to mention on Super Mario Odyssey, I actually put that on my list, not for my son, who, again, is too young, but my niece, who I played, she was probably 3. It was like the first game she ever touched.
Wow.
And I had Super Mario Odyssey had just come out. And because that game has a cap, I don't know what they call it, Cappy mode or whatever it is.
Where
I'm controlling Mario and she is just controlling the hat, which literally just requires movement of the analog stick. It's kind of a really good introduction because there's very, very little, like, she's not even moving a character around. She's just moving the hat and the hat will touch things and interact with things and stuff like that. That very low barrier is actually a really good way to sort of introduce games to kids because there's no way they can be frustrated and they get a kick out of, like, interacting with the world. That stuff is really good. I agree with you. Like, I would never, like, hand Mario Odyssey to a kid just and have them play. Like, that's too much.
And the cool thing is, like, there is kind of like a natural ramp up these days. So, I mean, again, using Sonic, my son loves watching Minecraft videos. He especially likes watching, like, Disney rides. And there's, like, a Sonic Minecraft big DLC. So he wants to watch that. And then, like, once he's done that for a while, he kind of gets how the game works. And then he wants to go play, like, to watch me play the game, and he'll, like, carry a controller and can play as Tails. So then, you know, finally I can give him the iPad and he can play for himself. And that path seems like much chiller than what it was like when we were kids, where you'd be handed a controller and just, I don't know, hope for the best.
Yeah, sure. Should we take a break and then talk about either this more or other stuff?
Wow.
Thanks.
One of the great segues.
Yeah, thank you.
We're back to talk about this more or other stuff. So which one? Let's take a vote.
Well, I was going to say, you guys just got back from a tour of the Midwest.
True.
Were there any go-to, because I feel like people obviously are starting to get a little more adventurous in terms of traveling. Were there any go-to games that you guys were playing while, you know, on the road.
I have been continuing my sort of Dragon Quest retrospective education. I've been having a really good time with it. I've been playing 7, which is the longest entry in the series. I started
Than like the 120 hour 11 or whatever it is.
This is longer than that by a, it is the, I think it's one of the biggest scripts in like video game history. It's too big. I was playing it on 3DS and I realized like if I try to play this on my 3DS, I will never even make a dent out of it because it is very repetitive. And I will get tired of it like that. So instead I loaded up Dragon Warrior 7 for the PlayStation on my RG351V and turned it up to 10 times speed and nearly finished with it now and really, really enjoying it.
That's different from Dragon Quest?
It's the same game. It's just when they brought Dragon Quest to North America, they called it Dragon Warrior for some reason.
Got it.
Dragon Warrior 7 was the last game that they did that to. But it's a neat game. It's there is something... I feel like I have a pretty good vocabulary when it comes to talking about RPGs and like what makes them work. And for whatever reason, like I can't stop playing Dragon Quest games, despite the fact that like I have a lot of criticisms about them. There is something about the vibe, and if you've played Dragon Quest XI, I think that game does a really great job of sort of encapsulating this. Like it has a vibe and a sense of progression that is so compelling. And the games also get pretty buck wild. Like Dragon Quest VII, eventually you hit a point where you are attempting to resurrect the Judeo-Christian god. And it's like, and then the whole world is like, hey, God's back. And it's like, this is a bonkers thing for a video game to have in it. There's something about these games that I absolutely adore, and they are so different from other JRPG. They're so different from Final Fantasy. Like that is the most surprising thing. I think I expected them to just be like, you know, kind of more traditional like fantasy things than Final Fantasy, but they really are doing something of their own, and it's kind of neat to watch this like Squaresoft versus Enix you know, design ethos rivalry at work. So just in general, I think loading up some RPGs and JRPGs is like, since I was a kid, the way I always go with traveling.
I played some Kingdoms 2 Crowns. It's just one of the most, like, if you need to pass some time, you really can't beat it. But I checked out something interesting called Chinatown Detective Agency. Have you guys heard about this?
No.
I've heard about it, but it's a point and click, right?
Yeah, it's a point and click adventure where you play a former cop who is now she's opened up her own detective agency, and you know, case based, you get a mystery and then you're working that case. Most of it is like looking for clues and interacting with stuff and, you know, classic point and click adventure stuff. There are occasional like shootouts where you're trying to like take a shot at, usually like climactically. What's interesting though is rather than the puzzles being like, you know, use pulley on chicken, they are largely real world based. So like you find a quote, a scrap of paper from something, and you have to figure out the source of the quote. And then the source of the quote leads you to a book in the library that has a cipher in it that, you know, that you actually have to solve. Kind of like a modern updated Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. There's like some geographic, like someone uses a nickname for a country and you have to figure out what nickname it is. And, you know, that's where you book your next ticket to go look for your next clue. A lot of voice work too, which is surprising for a game of this scale. But it's really neat. It's really interesting. It's fairly slow paced. I have some problems with, it doesn't save until you finish a case, which is kind of like,
yeah,
that makes me nervous. I don't enjoy that. but they're trying to keep you from save scumming, I think, especially the shootout parts.
Just like, who cares? Like,
why do, just let me, just like, let me save.
It's not a fucking PvP game.
I have other things to do. It's cool though. It's like a, it's a very interesting.
What are you playing concept. It on?
I'm playing it on Switch, but I know it's available. It's produced by Humble. I think they've got it on Steam.
Yeah,
as well in other places. But I am playing on Switch. It works fine.
Anyone else? I mean, I guess you all didn't travel.
Yeah, I haven't really gone anywhere for a long time. I still play, like, when I do travel, like, Binding of Isaac's usually my go-to, just because I can turn it off and on whenever I want.
Still haven't checked out that new expansion you were telling me.
Yeah, they keep updating it, which is pretty amazing with free updates. So there's, like, I'll step away. I'm currently sort of in hibernation with it, but I'll step away for like 6 months and then come back and there's like, they've still reworked good. Six classes and all sorts of stuff. So it's really evolved in interesting ways.
Do you want to get in a few quick questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
So kind of two things together. Grayson said, what's your opinion on the practice of giving an unconnected, unplugged controller to my nephew who is too young to play? I.e., am I a bad uncle?
To trick them into thinking that they are controlling the game. But it depends on how old they are. I find that children don't like to be insulted. Like they don't like to have their intellect insulted. When that is very bad for kids. But if it's like a baby, then
yeah, babies don't know.
Babies don't know anything, man.
This is an idea from Robbie. Not a game, but a method. Playing a Switch game where you have one Joy-Con and the kid has another. I did this with my oldest kids on Super Mario Odyssey in Breath of the Wild, where I would walk and they would jump attack. Works especially well with Mario since shaking the Joy-Con throws. That's pretty clever.
Yeah, I've done that with Henry for a lot of games. We liked playing, actually, most recently, Ollie Ollie World that way, because you can really make some big crashes happen in a way that children find very enjoyable.
Wait, I had a question related to that. Has there ever been a moment where you thought that the controller might go flying and the TV would get destroyed?
Well, I mean, we're not flailing them. We're not like...
No, I know, but kids, you know,
could also put
things.
On the strap.
That's true.
You could put it on the child.
Yeah.
Just an idea. I got two recommendations, one from Trails of Cameron, which is just Donut County. It's great first game for a kid. Simple controls, really delightful. Yeah. That's a great idea.
Charlie liked that one.
Yeah, just like silly. Yet. There's no way to go wrong. And this one from David, the Assassin's Creed Discovery Tour extensions are great. My son, 5, just likes climbing and jumping off of stuff, and I don't have to worry he's going to storm into a bandit camp. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I haven't played I know they're like educational offshoots of the main Assassin's Creed games where you like explore Egypt, which seems pretty cool.
I like those a lot. The only thing that would be boring is like all the reading, but I mean,
yeah. Who needs to learn? That's the worst part of it.
I just want to go and eat a pyramid. It's not asking so much.
That's in Roblox, actually.
Okay. And then just one final question from It's Game Cat. If your kids like video games, but you want to go analog for the night, what will keep their attention in the same way a screen will?
Ooh, good question.
Nothing in a million, bajillion. You know that on a screen you can have SpongeBob SquarePants flossing, right? And to recreate that in real life would cost an arm and a leg.
Oh, man. I wish you were wrong. I mean...
I can press... Let me think. If you give me 15 seconds on an iPad, I can show you SpongeBob SquarePants flossing. I cannot do that in the real, tangible world... In any way, I don't know how I would accomplish that aside from going to costume world and you know.
Yeah, I think
myself.
It's Game Cat is implying in a pinch, like an EMP goes off.
I mean, making slime, anything that is destructive or makes a mess that you have to clean up and they won't help with, that kids love that. Like, especially slime. Oh God, my kids love
it. What is your go-to slime recipe?
Sydney is really this. I refuse to participate. Sydney it has a great blend of Elmer's glue and shaving cream and contact solution that makes a great fluffy slime that I delight in throwing in the garbage when my kids aren't looking.
Yeah.
Running.
Yeah.
Just have them run.
Just sprinting.
Kids will just run. And yeah. You can sit back, you can watch them, you cannot watch them, and they'll just run. As long as the day is long, they'll just keep on running, and it's great.
I feel like they'd like one of those trampoline factory house.
I have a trampoline. I don't want to brag.
Well, no, I trampoline a is one thing. No, they have these like facilities. It's like a DZ Discovery Zone.
Yeah.
Where there's like 60 trampolines in a row.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, maybe not in these plague times. But.
That's true.
Yeah. For Mo, like Where's Waldo type of books. There's a ton of them of like Disney, whatever it is that interests your kid. Having a book that's like kind of a game in a book.
Yeah.
It's great. This is also kind of cheating because it's still technology, but have y'all tried the Tony's box?
Oh, yeah.
Big Tony's box fan.
What is that?
So Tony's is, imagine like an Alexa, right? But it's like a cube. It's a little cube speaker. And instead of talking to it, you put Tony figurines on it, and it will play whatever is tied to that figurine. So if like you put Woody from Toy Story on it, it like plays some like Toy Story stuff for you.
There's
like
a snake in my boot.
And like a little bit more.
Oh.
But the really great thing about it is there are empty Tonys, just like generic figures.
Hollow.
Oh yeah. and you can upload your own, you could record your own story time of like you, Freshick, talking to my kid. Please don't. But you could, and I'm not saying I do this, you could choose your own music and put that on there illegally illegal Tony.
Can you have a pony Tony from Genuine?
Yeah. That would be amazing if you just had one horse that when the kid puts the horse on the Tony box, it plays Genuine. There is also like that, they almost all of them have like stories, like sort of read along type deals, and then some songs on it. And sometimes it's really bizarre who's doing, and it's got to be they're sourcing it from somewhere. But I got a Minions that where the story of Minions was read by Tim Curry.
Wow,
and it's unthinkable.
Justin, I'm about to change your life, Justin. Do you know that you can order Tonys from the UK that aren't sold in America?
Oh,
in the UK, Tonys, you want that Mr. Bean Tony? It does exist.
Okay.
Do you want Peter and the Wolf it's a wolf with a David Bowie lightning strike across its face?
Oh my god.
Because you know it's David Bowie reading it.
That's so choice.
Yeah, the secret import Tonys market for the hardcore fans it's something else. It's bringing back all the joys of ordering Dreamcast games from Japan as a kid. Yeah, it's great. Tony's rule. Any other things that would be good for kids? Do y'all do any board games or anything like that?
Not really.
Yeah, train sets are really popular in our house. You can get like, this is not cheap, but like as like a birthday gift, which is what we did for Moo. There's like a $150 inflatable bounce house on Amazon. It's not huge. And I'm sure it's going to break probably very soon.
Yeah.
But right now.
Probably made of lead.
Living the dream. It's great.
There's one called Kids on Stage that has been released a couple of different formats, but it's a charades board game where you don't have to be able to read. You can just see the picture of the thing, and then the kid has to act it out. And it's always like an animal, a thing, or an action. And it's like if the other people can guess it, you get to move ahead a few squares. But that's a really good basic kind of thing if you want to avoid like Hi-Ho Chariot or whatever.
Chess, if you don't mind not following the rules of chess, is good. Chess
chokeable is just items, so probably wait till they're a little older.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, okay, should we do that for everything on this that we talked about? A baby will try to swallow an iPad. Better not do an iPad mini. Better do a Pro, just something that won't fit in the mouth.
Runs in the family.
Honorable mentions? Well, Fresh, you have something?
Sure. Zach Gage, who made Spell Tower and Really Bad Chess and Good Sudoku and a bunch of other very cool mobile puzzle games, has a new game. It's coming out. It's actually out by the time this episode launches. It's called Knot Words, KNOT words. It's very cool. I've been playing it for the last couple of days. It's basically a mashup of a crossword puzzle mixed with Sudoku. So you don't get clues, but you do. You are told what letters go in groups of boxes, and you have to use all those letters. So it's basically a logic puzzle using language. It kind of reminds me of, like, if you mashed Wordle and Sudoku together, it's kind of like that, because you're, again, you're not given, like, clues. There are clues in it, but yeah, really cool if you like word games and sort of logic games like that. On iOS, it's also on Steam. Might be on Android, I'm not sure, but definitely iOS and Steam. And it's called Not Words. Very cool.
And I have been playing Switch Sports, the sequel to Wii Sports.
Which we're going to talk about next week.
But there's a review of it on Polygon, kind of. When I had to review it for the embargo, they didn't have the online mode available yet, which seems like kind of a problem. That said, kind of doesn't matter because the game rules. So we'll be talking about it next week. But if you're curious about it ahead of then, I think you should just go ahead and get it, because it's real good.
Thank you to the following people for writing reviews for the besties on Apple Podcasts. Chicken Fajita 12, Cold Marcus 313. Oh, that's like 313. Is that like Master Chief?
That's
those
guilty,
his numbers?
No, it's 343.
Anyway, Panza Cool, Music Friendly Man. Thank you for writing reviews for the besties on Apple Podcasts. Thank you to everyone else for writing reviews for the besties on Apple Podcasts. Please share the show. We always appreciate it, and it helps us a lot in spreading the word about the show and keeps things running smoothly.
Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next week for the besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
Besties!